You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Before we start a new hour, I need to hug my friend. I'm sorry.
I did not mean to yell at you that way.
I got frustrated. That did not come out. It came out nastier than I meant it to come out. It's just a lifetime of frustration with failed draft picks for our franchise just sort of came pouring out of me there.
It hurts when you mention me and failed draft choices.
No, I understand. All right.
Everybody's got them.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, with that said, it's the week we've been waiting for, and it started the way we dreamt it might. We are Get Up. We are live from the Seaport. We're brought to you by Chase. We are wall-to-wall NFL news, and it has started already. While you were asleep last night, Shefty, boom, Russell Wilson to the Steelers. He's going to sign a one-year, $1.2 million contract. That is the league minimum. You're aware of the circumstances. Denver will pay the rest of it. So there is no risk in this for Pittsburgh. At least there's no financial risk. And Russell has acknowledged this is going on. While he and his wife were at the Oscars last night, he posted year 13 grateful. So he's on his way to Pittsburgh. So, Shefty, jump in the middle of this free-for-all that the morning has become, and you began it last night with this news. How did this happen, and what does it mean?
Greeny, it started last week when the Denver Broncos granted Russell Wilson permission to speak with teams ahead of the free agent signing period that begins Wednesday, ahead of the negotiating period that begins at noon Eastern today. And with that head start, Russell Wilson was able to have exploratory talks with the New York Giants and then fly to Pittsburgh, where I was told that he spent about 6 hours on Friday meeting with Mike Tomlin, a head coach that he has great respect for, the new offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith. Now, keep in mind what Mike Tomlin is thinking as he meets Russell Wilson. The two men have squared off twice during Russell Wilson's NFL career. Russell Wilson is 2-0 against Mike Tomlin, and in those two games, he's thrown 8 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. So Mike Tomlin has seen the very best of Russell Wilson. The Steelers were in the market for a quarterback to compete with their former first-round draft pick, Kenny Pickett. And really, there was no risk here with Russell Wilson at all, considering that the Broncos, as you mentioned, are footing the bill for $37.8 million this year. Pittsburgh didn't have to compensate Denver, really doesn't have to compensate Russell Wilson any more than $1.2 million. So really, it's a no-lose proposition for a quarterback who last year threw 26 touchdown passes and 8 interceptions before he was benched in Denver and then essentially released. So the Steelers figured there's no risk here. Let's bring him in, get it done. And to me, the most interesting part of the Russell Wilson thing is not only that he's in Pittsburgh, where I think he believes he'll wind up winning that starting quarterback job over Kenny Pickett, though it will be in open competition, is that there's one fewer fallback quarterback option for the other teams out there that don't land Kirk Cousins potentially. That's where I also think there's an element of interest to this particular move last night.
Oh, so many. Those you've just named two of about the 8 things about this that I think are fascinating. But for the audience that's just joining us, Stan Orlovsky, at the top of a new hour. So the Steelers at this point will go into the season with Kenny Pickett, whom they used a first-round pick on 3 years ago, and Russell Wilson in their quarterback room. Who will be their starter week one?
Yeah, Russell Wilson. Greeny, Russell Wilson will be the Steelers' starting quarterback. And if we're being honest, the Steelers now are legitimate contenders within the division. They really weren't. We placed them as, like, contenders because of the history of Mike Tomlin and what we know of him as a head coach. But we'd always say, well, you don't stack up versus Lamar Jackson or Joe Burrow or if Deshaun Watson gets back to what he was. They now have a chance in that division, and that's in a significantly better place than they were going into yesterday, okay? So if we want to talk about who Russell Wilson is right now in comparison to Kenny Pickett, it's not that close. Wow. And if Russell Wilson plays next year the way he did last year, and I would say in a better situation with better talent around him, this is going to be a team that's going to push those leaders in that AFC South division. There's no question about it. If I asked everybody sitting next to you, Greeny, one thing right now, what's the one thing Kenny Pickett won't do as a quarterback? What's the one complaint people have?
He doesn't push the ball down the field.
So what's the thing
that Russell Wilson does the best?
He throws it down the field. As well as anybody ever,
hey,
yeah.
Greeny, what Dano just said, just copy and paste, that's what Mike Tomlin presumably said exactly to Russell Wilson and his agent. Come in here, take us to the playoffs, resurrect your career, and look at Baker Mayfield's $50 million guarantee that he just got from Tampa Bay, and that's exactly what we'll be talking about in 2025. And that's why you have a Hall of Fame coach in Mike Tomlin to close the deal. This is an unusually, like, almost historic value that you're getting a starting quarterback for $1 million. Again, Sean Payton is paying Russell Wilson $39 million to go away, and Mike Tomlin's recruiting him to basically play for nothing. And give Russell Wilson a ton of credit. We've all criticized him, but he is betting on himself literally and figuratively.
Well, look, here. From him, I think this is a no-brainer. I think this was like a dream scenario for him.
Yeah.
So let me come to you. Orlovsky just suggested in a division that has Baltimore, who was the one seed last year and has Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow, who we all know, when healthy, is basically as good as anybody. Do you think Russell Wilson makes the Steelers a legitimate contender?
I think they'll challenge in a division. I think the one thing, the Pittsburgh Steelers went what, 10-7 last year?
10-7, yeah.
10-7 with atrocious quarterback play. Think about that. 10-7 with atrocious quarterback play and T.J. Watt missing some time on that defense. You had a guy who's, in my opinion, is an upgrade over Kenny Pickett at the quarterback spot. We know that they want to play complementary football. They want to run it. They want to push the ball down the field. You got George Pickens. You know, you got two dynamic backs. And then, obviously, we can, you know, we talk glowingly about the defense as well. That style works in the AFC North. Mm. Okay? If they get the style of play that Russell Wilson was playing when he was a starting quarterback in Denver, I'm not saying Russell Wilson was lighting the world on fire.
He was not.
But he was not a bum in Denver. Okay? If they get that style of play, the Pittsburgh Steelers will be in the playoffs next year.
Right. They were in the playoffs this year. I guess the question is, like, how high the ceiling is with this version of Russell Wilson. He's got to play better than he played the last couple years in Denver, right? I mean, or else they're not.
Yeah, I mean, listen, but the comparison, but I think the comparison is we measure that to what he was, his salary, his contract.
Right.
He's not that anymore. Like, no. we got to come up off of that. I think Russell Wilson is still – I think he's a good quarterback. He's not the elite quarterback that we've been accustomed to seeing from him from years ago.
Zero risk move for the Steelers.
Correct.
They're going to pay Kenny Pickett more money this year than they're going to pay Russell Wilson.
Much more.
By about $700,000. So, yes, from his standpoint, he has not been on a team that had a winning record in any of the last 3 years. The Steelers, as we know, haven't had a losing record since Bill Cowher was a coach.
Right.
So this is a great match for him if he's trying to build his reputation.
Well, in a world where, and I'll get Shefty in here, in a world where we're all looking for quarterbacks to outplay their contract, I mean, the long snapper is going to outplay the contract at Russell Wilson, what they're paying him at this point. The contract is, you said it, it's not practically unprecedented. It is unprecedented. If you got your starting quarterback for the league minimum and he's a person with the background that Russell Wilson has, that is a unique circumstance. I can't imagine it's ever happened before. Shefty, go.
Well, Greeny, again, the Steelers are paying him $1.2 million. And I know that Russell Wilson believes that he has been tarred and marred by the one season that went real south in Denver when he played under Nathaniel Hackett. And he feels like if you look at the rest of his career, it's been at a high level with 9 Pro Bowl selections, a Super Bowl championship. That's what he believes. We talked about him going in there. Again, he said on the Brandon Marshall podcast that he still wanted to win multiple Super Bowls because that's how he still views himself. The way that Pittsburgh views it is if it wasn't going to be Russell Wilson, it was going to be Mason Rudolph, who's a free agent. But they had to bring one quarterback in to compete with Kenny Pickett. Do you prefer, and I'm just asking, Russell Wilson at $1.2 million or bringing back Mason Rudolph at a number that would have been even higher than that?
Right.
And so the Steelers made their choice. Right. Now, Mike Tannenbaum brought up Baker Mayfield, and I think there's a great analogy in this on the day that both quarterbacks land agreements with their particular teams. A year ago, Baker Mayfield signed a one-year $4.4 million deal with the Buccaneers. He bet on himself because he believed that the Buccaneers had a ready-made roster to win, that he would win there, that he would play well there, and he would parlay that into the type of contract that he got yesterday, 3 years, $100 million, 50 guaranteed. Russell Wilson, in a way, is taking a page out of the Baker Mayfield playbook. He's going into Pittsburgh. He's doing a one-year deal. They did discuss adding a second year. There wasn't a team out there that was willing to give him a second year the way he wanted. So Russell Wilson said, hey, let's let Denver pay $37.8 million this year. You pay me $1.2. I'm going to go play in an organization that has won consistently, that has been a culture of winning, that has a great running game, that has a great defense, and he believes he will be the difference maker. And if he's right, and if they do go to the playoffs and have success, well, then he's going to be in the Baker Mayfield position 1 year from now, and we'll talk about him doing an extension. But right now, Pittsburgh has nothing to lose, zero, by signing him to the deal it did.
An exceptional explanation. I hope everyone followed every word of that, because that's exactly what just happened here. That's why it makes all the sense in the world for Russell Wilson. Orlovsky, go.
He's got to go be 2019 Ryan Tannehill. He's got to go be 2022 Geno Smith. We have a lot of evidence of some of these quarterbacks that were cast off. They can't play. You're not good enough anymore. And they go to a different situation, and all of a sudden, they elevate and get back to kind of that consistency. The conversation around Russell Wilson has become one of the dumbest conversations I've been a part of the last 18 months. To give everybody his last four seasons of playing quarterback in the NFL, okay? Facts over feelings. In 2020, 40 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, and a 105 rating. In 2021, 25 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, a 103 rating. In 2022, 16 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, 84 rating. That's the bad year. Pittsburgh would have dreamed for that year last year. And then this past season, 26 touchdowns, 8 picks, and a 98 rating. We talk about Russell Wilson like he's a cast off. I don't understand it. Maybe you don't like the personality. Maybe you don't. And maybe you don't like the noise that he brings with him, or the persona. That's your opinion. Have at it. But if we have to be fair about what the player is or who he is on the field, the last 4 years, he's got like 110 touchdowns and 30 picks. The conversation around him has become stupid.
We talk about him like he's a cast-off because he is a cast-off.
Yeah, they keep casting him off.
Because financially,
the last 3 years have cast him off.
Financially, right? We're talking about it like
Denver's paid him anyway. Like, they're not getting any financial break by casting him off. They have to pay him $39 million regardless to play for somebody else. Look, man, like, I'm just saying, you're talking about facts over feelings. Like, Denver cast him off. Like, that is
Sean
actually
Payton
true.
Cast him off.
Who?
Sean Payton, the head coach, didn't want him anymore, right?
Sean Payton, the head coach of the Denver Broncos. Right, I said Denver, right? Right. Did I say Denver?
Neither one of you is wrong. I mean, the obvious reality is that the Broncos cast him off, quite literally. Right. You can't do more to cast a person off. But what Dan is saying is, and I don't want to put Orlovsky, I don't want to put words in your mouth, it isn't because he played so badly that you couldn't have him on the football team. There were other extenuating circumstances, one of them being that Sean walks in, we all know Sean, he walks in with a very set idea of what he wants it to look like, and Russell Wilson isn't it. He never was going to be. It was the minute that he got hired there, Mike T, you said, Russell Wilson is out of there, might as well trade him right now. It was a match that was never going to work.
Yeah, it was the Bill Parcells playbook. Like, if I do something to the starting quarterback, they're all going to fall in line. But as we were talking about off-air, Greeny, here's your biggest challenge. If we're the Broncos, the best we can do right now is get the third-best quarterback in the division behind Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert, who, by the way, is going to be coached by some guy named Jim Harbaugh, who's made every quarterback going back to the University of San Diego measurably better. So if I'm Denver, where do we go from here? Mm. You're not going to get one of those four quarterbacks where you're sitting drafting. So I think maybe they solve one problem in their mind, but I don't know where they're going to go from here.
D. Wood, I'm trying to read the look. You're just sitting back. Take the floor, big fella.
First of all, like, I'm happy for Russ.
Yeah.
I am, because the discourse around Russ has been toxic. It has been toxic. You know, when we talk about Russell, it's because a lot of it has been centered around his personality, locker room, all that type of stuff. And I think the pendulum has swung way too far as yes. You know, the vitriol against Russell Wilson. I think he's going into a great situation with a great organization. We talk so much when we talk about quarterbacks. We talk about culture. We talk about, you know, like their surroundings. Russell Wilson is literally going into probably the best situation he's been in years with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. They got this team has talent. They'll coach well. They went 10-7 with trash quarterback play last year. You don't think Russell Wilson is not smiling? Like he is. He's got to be thrilled to be in this situation in Pittsburgh right now.
I also think the fact that he does this, to repeat the point, and makes no more money than he would have made for not playing at all, right. I think also does good things for his image.
Sure.
I mean, people look at him now and say, he doesn't just want to be a star. He wants to be a football player.
Yeah.
I think there's been a narrative around him that he being a celebrity is important to him. And look, right now, he could be a celebrity if he wants to and not have anybody hit him in the mouth. He's choosing to be a football player. I think that goes a long way.
And let me bring this up, because Mike T was talking about like how Russell Wilson, would have the opportunity to be like Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
I don't think this is about money. Russell Wilson's made so much money in his career. This is about legacy. Not long ago, we were at a point talking about Russell Wilson like he was on the track to Hall of Fame.
Which he was.
And then he, obviously these past, 3 years, whatever it's been, it's kind of et cetera. I think this is about his legacy. Russell Wilson, he is what all of us have been talking about in the media. He wants to go to a situation where he can put all this noise to bed.
Okay, so the first shoe has fallen. So that has happened. Now we've got that there. And as Shefty alluded to a moment ago, we also had Baker Mayfield get a terrific deal to stay in Tampa yesterday, and we had Mac Jones traded for a sixth-round pick. So where does that leave us, Shefty, as we are now rapidly approaching legal tampering? We got the Kirk Cousins of it all out there. You have the Bears and Justin Fields still trying to figure out what they're going to do there. Bring us all the fans who are getting ready. Set the stage here.
Okay, here's where we're at this morning, Greeny, as we get ready for the negotiating period to open at noon today and the signing period to open Wednesday at 4 o'clock. As you alluded to, Kirk Cousins is the biggest free agent out there, the biggest quarterback domino that is on the street. I think there's been this speculative narrative that he's going to wind up in Atlanta, and he might eventually wind up with the Falcons. I think the two primary suitors for his services are the Minnesota Vikings and the Atlanta Falcons. But the Minnesota Vikings are not going to let him go without fighting for him. And he's in Minnesota. They are the incumbent and still the team that would have to be beat. There have been ongoing discussions to try to keep him there. Again, Atlanta would have to step up in a way to essentially pry him loose from the Vikings. And the best I can tell, I don't know that that will happen. We shall see here when the negotiating period opens afternoon. That would be the biggest domino. So let's look at it from two different ways, Greeny. If Kirk Cousins stays in Minnesota, the Vikings compete, he comes back from the torn Achilles, everything's good, Justin Jefferson's happy, and the Vikings pick up where they left off last season. If he goes to Minnesota, the interesting part becomes, what about Atlanta? Now, if Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta, problem solved. They have their quarterback, move on. But if not, they didn't get Kirk Cousins. Baker Mayfield was on their list of quarterbacks and a potential replacement if they couldn't get Kirk Cousins. But Baker Mayfield has a 3-year agreement with the Buccaneers. Russell Wilson might have been of interest to the Falcons. He now has a 1-year deal in Pittsburgh. So if the Falcons are unable to get Kirk Cousins out of Minnesota, what do the Falcons then do for a team that has said that the quarterback is the team's biggest priority? I believe they pick 8th in the draft. It's a tough spot to be in to get one of the top 3 guys. Do you try to trade up? They're going to have to pour their resources into somewhere. Would you rather try to overpay Kirk Cousins? Would you rather try to overpay in the draft to move up? What are you doing if you don't get Kirk Cousins? And I guess everybody, again, this will bring us to the next option, Justin Fields, because at one point he was connected to Atlanta. And there are people in the organization that do support Justin Fields. But here's the issue, and has been the issue, at least as of right now, before any of these quarterback dominoes started falling. The Rams, or the Falcons, hired the former Rams defensive coordinator, Raheem Morris. Raheem Morris hired the former Rams quarterback coach, Zach Robinson, to run his offense. So we have two Rams officials, not to mention the Rams' influence, where they would like to run an offense similar to the one that Sean McVay has in Los Angeles. Justin Fields, in a perfect world, would not be the guy to do that, which is why they have been interested in Kirk Cousins and Baker Mayfield, who played for the Rams after the Panthers released him, and maybe even potentially Russell Wilson, who played under Shane Waldron. Those were the options. Justin Fields hasn't been the primary guy. Now, if they miss out on Cousins, Mayfield, Wilson, could they go to Justin Fields? Potentially, they could reconsider. But again, I think the Falcons are in a tough spot if they can't get Kirk Cousins out of Minnesota.
I just go back to Raheem Morris's press conference down in Atlanta, where he mentioned the reason I'm here is because they didn't solve the quarterback situation. Mm. And so if I'm Atlanta, I'm moving heaven and earth to try to go get Kirk Cousins. It just makes so much sense. Like, why would you? Like, if you don't get Kirk Cousins, if you're Raheem Morris, I'm in panic mode. Because what is out there? Do I want some rookie quarterback? You know, we just saw the list of quarterbacks on the 2021 draft, right? We just saw that. Like, that would scare the living daylights out of me. I want a guy in Kirk Cousins who, by the way, plays in the same type of system up in Minnesota, and it would, like, you wouldn't even have to worry about verbiage or anything. It would just be, you would just transfer it over.
Putting on my much criticized GM hat here for a second.
Yes, yes, yes. So I still feel bad about that.
Okay, I got two for the price of one. If you're Atlanta, stretch on Kirk Cousins with the eighth pick. You can take Dallas Turner. You only had 42 sacks last year, which was 21st in the league. He had a great combine. Now all of a sudden, you have your starting quarterback and the best pass rusher in the draft.
Orlovsky, I got 10 seconds. I'm going to give you the whole next block, but go.
Yeah, number one, I think Kirk Cousins is the massive domino for a bunch of teams. Number two, I think Atlanta can get up. Number three, Justin Fields is the opposite of Russell Wilson. Mike T, you said last week, if you trade for Justin Fields, you're basically guaranteeing $28 million over 2 years. That's an expensive cost with an unknown in comparison to Russell, who's going to cost you one for this year.
All right, a break on that thought. We have so much going on today, as you can tell. Legal tampering is right around the corner. The dominoes are falling left and right. Again, how does all this impact Justin Fields? Is there a place left for him? What do the Bears do from here? Plus, the free agent frenzy exists at running back as well. Saquon Barkley leads the list. Who's interested? Where will they go? How much will they get paid? We've got all the answers as we get up with you all morning long. ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
As we continue on Get Up, this is where Russell Wilson was last night. He and Ciara were at the Vanity Fair after party for the Oscars.
Oh, yeah.
Last night, right?
Did they eat the burger?
The In-N-Out burgers, no, they got there. Well, if they'd known that he was going to Pittsburgh by that time, they should have gotten him a Primanti's Brothers sandwich instead of the In-N-Out burger that with the fries and the coleslaw right on it. Coming up, the Saquon sweepstakes. Running backs take center stage. Who wants Saquon? We've got a lot in the hopper. Stay there. Get up, ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bottom of the hour, back on Get Up, and we are counting down literally the seconds to legal tampering and NFL free agency, and the moves are already coming fast and furious. We've talked a lot about, frankly, exclusively, about the quarterback so far. Let's get to some running backs. Dan Orlovsky, Derrick Henry is out there. What's the best fit for him?
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever mispronounced my last name worse than that one, Greeny. I'm
going to
say
the
Dallas Cowboys or the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
I love the addition of him in Dallas, and I think many do, just because of the consistency that he brings and the mindset, the mentality that he would bring to that football team offensively. And in Baltimore, they've got some injuries in their backfield. If you pair that with Todd Monken's run game that I hopefully calls in the playoffs and Lamar Jackson, it's a good place.
Yeah, I like both of those. D. Wood, let's go to Josh Jacobs. What's the best fit for him?
I'm going to say go back to the Raiders. Like, this team in the Raiders, they got to figure out their quarterback. They're one of the teams that we talk about that could possibly move up and draft a young quarterback. Mm-hmm. But guess what helps a young quarterback? Good running game. We know he had a little bit of a down year last year, but I think Josh Jacobs would do well to go back to the Las Vegas Raiders.
And then one more, the best known name, I guess, in all this is Saquon Barkley. Mike T, what's the best fit for Saquon?
Really, the Dallas Cowboys. Tony Pollard was disappointing as a starting running back. So you have somebody who's as fast as Pollard, but as big as Zeke. He's only 27. He has 47 career touchdowns. And the other thing is, we all know that Dallas can score. So the axiom of pass to score and run to win, you could finish a lot of games with Saquon Barkley as your running back.
Look, I've made very clear, as I bring Graziano in here on this, I've made very clear, I believe Saquon Barkley has the ability to be a difference-making player for someone this year. So let's go to the running backs there. Is he the – where are – because that's become – it's like a tragedy every single year watching these guys not get paid.
Yeah, the running back market is the running back market, and it's not great. And the fact that these big-name guys are all on it – only hurts their chances of getting the big money that they once dreamed of. Now, there are teams out there that are looking to upgrade at running back and that would love to have a Saquon Barkley or a Josh Jacobs, who's actually the younger player, by the way, or a Derrick Henry. So you look at a place like a Baltimore, Chicago, I think, is going to be active in the running back market. The Chargers are going to want somebody. I don't get the sense that Austin Eckler is headed back there. So there are teams out there. Right? Some of these guys might get 10-plus million a year on multi-year deals. But not all of them will. And I think the supply outweighs the demand so much that if you don't sign right away, if you're one of these top-end running backs, it could be a long wait.
So, Orlovsky, let me make my case here, and you tell me if I've got this wrong.
We talk about running back sometimes like it is not a dependent position. Like quarterback is a purely dependent position, but the running back is not. So Saquon Barkley, from the moment he has gotten to the Giants, has been on bad teams with bad offensive lines and bad quarterback play. And he has still managed to be incredibly productive. In fact, 2 years ago, he was overwhelmingly the best player on a team that exceeded all expectations and made the playoffs. And so what did they do? They couldn't possibly overpay the quarterback fast enough, and they're going to let this guy go. I believe Saquon Barkley can have a McCaffrey-esque impact on some team somewhere. I'm not saying he's as good as Christian McCaffrey, but I don't think he's that far off. I think he is that good out of the backfield. I think he is that much of a difference maker in the potential to make big plays. He can run it inside or outside. I think on a really good team where everyone doesn't just spend the entire week figuring out how they're going to stop Saquon Barkley, I think he could have a very big year someplace if it all goes his way. Am I crazy?
Not crazy. That's why I've wanted the Houston Texans to be the team to go after Saquon Barkley. So theoretically, I think the NFL, when it comes to the running back position, whether you're investing it in free agency, and Mike T can speak to this better, or in the draft, it's got to be the final piece nowadays. Like that position, when you have a really good roster and you have so many other positions that are taken care of, the running back, that's the moment where you say, okay, maybe we'll invest in it a little bit more money free agency-wise, or we could take one in the first round. And I think Houston obviously is on the verge of doing that. Here's what I would say when it comes to the dependent, you know, position conversation, Greeny. A good running back doesn't make up for a bad offensive line and kind of flip the script. A good offensive line can make up for a bad back.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like a good offensive line could take an average back and make them really good. An average back does not make a bad offensive line really good. And I think that's where that position and the dependency is skewed.
I totally agree. I mean, that's my point, is that we talk about Saquon Barkley like he's a diminished asset. We only say that because
of the market,
because the running backs are just generally treated that way. And there are a select few of them that I think can have an oversized impact if they wind up in the right place.
That was the point they were trying to make last year. Remember when they all got together and had a conference call about how do we improve our situation? That was the message that came out of it. Yeah, we understand. We understand market factors, but there's a couple of us that are worth stretching for. So we'll see what happens. I think there may be one or two that get stretched for by teams in free agency this offseason.
I love what Dan was saying about Houston, and D-Wood mentioned as well. Like, look at Brock Purdy and how much Christian McCaffrey helped his development, Greeny. And you look at C.J. Stroud on a rookie contract with some weapons on the outside. You add someone like Saquon Barkley to C.J. Stroud, that offense will be unstoppable.
I've been pounding the table for the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
Like, you hit on a quarterback. We saw that last year. This is your window. Now's the go time. Like, go sign Saquon Barkley. We saw last year that was a big problem with their offense, was their inability to really run the ball consistently. Saquon Barkley will add multiple dimensions to your offense. So go get him.
What are the Giants going to do, by the way? I mean, the Giants, as we talk about team, what's that?
Probably lose.
Lose a lot of games. Well, look, I mean, there are so many weird, there's a confluence of weird factors that surround that organization right now.
Yeah.
And as we ran through.
Okay.
As we ran through all the quarterback places, though, Dan, that's not one where we stopped, right? We talked about Atlanta. We talked about Minnesota. We talked about Denver. We talked about we haven't mentioned the Giants.
No, but we should. I mean, they've got $34 million guaranteed for Daniel Jones this year, so that's kind of an anchor on the whole thing. But I don't think they're averse to the idea of drafting one, maybe moving up in the draft, maybe bringing in some competition. I don't know if they'll do it, but we talked about this last week. I think that would be a neat place for Justin Fields to go.
Yes.
Right? Get all the offseason reps while the starter comes back from injury. I think the Giants play in the quarterback market at some point.
Greeny, there's a great saying that applies this time of year. You have to turn your cards over. They met with Russell Wilson. That tells us a lot about what they think about Daniel Jones.
Orlovsky, go.
Yeah, just remember when Joe Shane and Brian Daboll got to New York, the number one goal was to get them out of their salary cap mess, okay? So we have to give them credit that they've done that. They have to prepare for life after Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones no longer is good enough, whether he was drafted at six or not, and $34 million a year or not, because it comes to the play and the sustainability of his health, okay? So the Giants have to plan for life after Daniel Jones as quickly as possible. If Drake May is there at six, I don't think he will be. If he's there at six, you sprint to the podium and you're happy and you sit him for a year and you let him develop. If not, then Justin Fields maybe becomes in a conversation if he still has not been traded yet.
How about McCarthy at six?
I think that's too rich for J.J. McCarthy. And the last thing I'm going to drop on you, Greeny, is this.
Yeah.
I think Bo Nix from Oregon, after watching some of his games, is closer to the three quarterback than he isn't.
Ooh. You are not in Mobile, my friend.
There are so many disagreements about all of this stuff. Look, the QB stuff around the draft is going to be rich. What is the smile on the face of the big fella?
No, like Dan, like, took it out. Like we talked about Justin Fields, right? Like, being kind of recalibrate his situation. Giants, Brian Daboll, like, we saw the work he did with Josh Allen.
Right.
If I'm Justin Fields, I'm trying to get somewhere to a situation where a guy who knows how to develop quarterbacks. Why not? Why not the Giants?
Offense already built around a running quarterback. I mean, like, you gotta guarantee
him. Mike T said you gotta guarantee him $28 million. That's the problem, right?
Right. For 2 years.
Right. Well, here's the only difference I would say is if you could get him for a Mac Jones sort of price now, like a sixth rounder, you don't necessarily have to exercise that fifth year option. The fifth-year option was in the context of saying, hey, we're giving up a second-round pick, so maybe the market's changed.
Not to mention the fact that if you're Justin Fields, look, I don't know if the specter of Bill Belichick hanging over Brian Daboll is as real as we sometimes talk about.
Probably not.
But if I'm Justin Fields, the last thing on earth I want to do is go to another place where the coach gets fired after 1 year. I mean, he's got to go to a place with some stability and all the rest of that. We'll find out where it all winds up. By the way, ESPN Bet is now live for all of our friends in North Carolina. As the official sports book of ESPN, it's the only place to find promotions from your favorite shows and personalities. New users in North Carolina get $200 of bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download today, North Carolina. All right, coming up, much more on Russell Wilson. How much is he risking by going to Pittsburgh? Can Mike Tomlin resurrect his career? What does it mean for all the rest of the decisions out here? We'll dive into all of that. But first, Graziano, here we go. Hembo is off today. Mm. So Darius is taking his shot. He's our researcher today. And here's the question. There have been 15 quarterbacks drafted in the last 5 years who have played at least 20 games. Okay. Which one of them has the worst record? The answer is next.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we are back on Get Up again. Hembo's off, so our researcher today is Darius, and I like this question for Graziano.
I do, too. I just don't know the answer.
So in the last 5 years, there have been 15 quarterbacks drafted that have started at least 20 games.
Yeah.
Last five drafts.
Yeah.
Which one of those has the worst record as a starter?
It goes back to 18 or 19 draft, right? So Kyler Murray and Daniel Jones that year. And,
right.
And then the Burrow, Herbert, Tua draft the next year. And I don't know. I mean, you know, the 21 draft we've talked about. I'm worried it's too obvious, but I think I got to go with Zach Wilson.
I think that's where he wants you to go. He's actually third worst.
Oh.
Justin Fields' record is worse. But Davis Mills actually has...
That is sneaky.
That is sneaky.
I tip my cap to you, Darius.
That is Davis Mills started 5-19-1 as the starter.
Wow.
In Houston.
That's sneaky.
Replaced by C.J. Stroud.
Embo's got to up his game, man. Like, that's a good
question. It's a good question.
Good,
it's
sneaky,
a fair
question.
It's sneaky, but not in a ridiculous way.
Absolutely.
Hope that Embo, if he's home watching this morning, is ashamed.
I hope
you are feeling shame.
I hope so, too.
Because that was such a good question.
Because he should be.
And Dan, respectfully.
Congratulations.
I like it. I liked everything about it. All right. We continue on Get Up. It's an eventful day. We've had so much go on in the last 24 hours. Let's do some fact or fiction. Mike T, the next quarterback domino to fall is likely to be Kirk Cousins. If I said the runner-up team for Cousins, whoever doesn't get him, should go get Justin Fields, is that fact or fiction?
It's a conditional fact, Greeny, and here's why. If you're Minnesota, I just don't see the Chicago Bears trading what could be a very good young starting quarterback intra-division. So if it's not, if Atlanta loses out, I'm all over Fields. If it's Minnesota, it's probably the draft.
All right, Orlovsky, let me come to you. With Baker Mayfield getting that deal and staying in Tampa, fact or fiction, he makes the Bucs the favorites to win that division.
Yeah, big time fact. They won the division last year. Atlanta right now doesn't have a starting quarterback. Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers, only 2025 matters. And the New Orleans Saints, Derek Carr back. They're intriguing, but with Baker Mayfield and Kate Otten at tight end, Mike Evans re-signed, Chris Godwin, Rashad White at tailback, and this defense with Todd Bowles that we know loves to blitz, this is still a very good and solid Tampa Bay team.
Yeah, they won a playoff game last year. D. Wood, the news of the morning. If I said Russell Wilson makes the Steelers a Super Bowl contender, is that fact or fiction?
Yeah, I'm going to go with fiction. I think Russell Wilson is going to win that job, and I think he's going to upgrade the quarterback position. But have we forgotten about who's in this conference?
Yeah.
Okay, we got Joe Burrow's going to be coming back. Lamar Jackson, two-time league MVP. And then, obviously, we know that guy that isn't even human, Patrick Mahomes, is sitting in the AFC. So I'm going to go fiction.
Yeah. I mean, look, the bottom line of it, I'm just looking over the teams that have been in the Super Bowl the last few years. And from the AFC.
Mainly the Chiefs.
The quarterbacks.
Right.
And before that, it was Brady, right?
Chiefs in Cincinnati.
Like, right. If you just look at it, it's Mahomes, Burrow, Mahomes, Brady, Peyton Manning at the end of his career, Brady. I mean, we're talking about just first ballot Hall of Famers across the board. It's not an easy club to break into. And Lamar Jackson hasn't made it in yet, and he's there. Josh Allen hasn't made it in yet, and he's there. Justin Herbert, we all think, is going to get better now with the elite coaching he's going to get. I mean, Russell Wilson's walking into a difficult situation to try and win big, but I think it is a great situation for him. He's the biggest winner of this offseason to me by far. You and I thought he was going to have to wait until June. He winds up in a perfect situation.
And literally, he put his money where his mouth is. And as Adam Schefter broke it down before, it is Baker Mayfield 2024. And if you're going to bet on yourself, you have a Hall of Fame coach. You got a great coordinator in Arthur Smith who did a great job in Tennessee when he was the coordinator there. You got skilled players galore. There's really no downside to it. Again, none of us here would have said if Russell Wilson wanted to wait, nobody would have blamed him. He's closing on $300 million. So I give Mike Tomlin a ton of credit, and Russell Wilson betting on himself deserves a ton of credit.
Tell us what it looks like, Dan. Like you've already said this morning, for those just joining us, you believe Russell Wilson will be the starting quarterback in Pittsburgh week one. Like, give people an idea of what it looks like. Arthur is the offensive coordinator. Russell,
Arthur
if
Smith.
He is the quarterback, what does it look like? What is that offense going to be?
Yeah, this offense is going to be heavy run centric and heavy play action pass throw the football downfield. You know, if Russell Wilson right now plays the way that he did last year, next year for Pittsburgh, this will be an offense that is going to be difficult to handle. This offensive line in Pittsburgh last year used to be a weakness for the past couple years. Last year started to play better, okay? Number two, Najee Harris is going to play the role of Derrick Henry. They've got a dynamic back in Jaylen Warren. And if you look at Russell Wilson as a play-action pass quarterback and just measure him versus everybody else, you go, yeah, that's top 10 quarterback-wise. That's exactly who this offense is going to be. And so they've got George Pickens, a big play receiver on the outside, Deontay Johnson, Pat Freiermuth, and those two backs. A couple of things that are important to point out, Greeny. Arthur Smith, and I guess it fails in Atlanta, right, as him as the head coach for two reasons. Number one, the quarterback kept throwing the ball to the other team. Interceptions. Russell Wilson, at the end of last year, end of November, led the NFL with C.J. Stroud in touchdown-to-interception ratio. He may not be a lot, but he ain't a guy who throws the ball to the other team a lot. So that's going to be situation number one. Number two, they had no vertical speed on the outside for their play-action game to actually work. They would have Kyle Pitts running deep. They've got vertical speed in Pittsburgh, okay? George Pickens is a massive benefactor for this. Think of DK Metcalf in Seattle. I'm not saying he's that guy, but think of those big plays down the field. I think the two things that Pittsburgh has to get right in the situation, they have to handle the persona of Russell Wilson. I don't know the guy, but everyone says he comes with a lot. Okay, so you have to handle that. Two, can you get rid of some sacks? He holds the ball, tries to make big plays. If they can minimize those a little bit and they hand the persona, this is a football team that can very much so push within that division.
I look at this situation, and the first thing that popped in my mind, Ryan Tannehill, Tennessee Titans.
Yeah. 2019,
Remember, Tennessee Titans were Ryan Tannehill. They were in one seed in the AFC.
Yeah.
Okay? And so when you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, they got an elite defense. They got weapons on offense. They've been improving the offensive line. Question is, can Russell Wilson be Ryan Tannehill? Yeah. Can he be that guy? If he can, now the discussion around the Pittsburgh Steelers totally changed.
A reminder that Arthur Smith, for those who don't know, was the offensive coordinator of that
yes.
team and resurrected
Correct.
Ryan Tannehill and used that to catapult his way to a head coaching
Correct.
Job. And so we'll see if he's wind up having that same kind of success. I'm trying to think of quarterbacks who have been on their third team and had huge success. The name that comes to mind is Kurt Warner.
Keep trying.
Well, Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner obviously had a huge career in St. Louis, won MVP, won the Super Bowl, all that. Went to the Giants for 2 years.
Yep.
They drafted Eli.
Baker Mayfield.
If on the day that Kurt Warner signed with Arizona, mm-hmm. I had said to you, he's going to lead this team to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
People probably would have laughed at me.
Probably.
So, I mean, the idea that Russell Wilson could do this, it's not as far-fetched as maybe it sounds to some.
Greeny, your 1998 New York Jets, Vinny Testaverde, gets cut by Baltimore after he gets released by Tampa Bay. We sign him in June, and he takes us to the championship game that year.
That's actually right. And we would have had the best team in the NFL the following year if he hadn't gotten hurt the first week. So it's not as though there is not any pretext or any precedent for something like this. Crazier things have happened than this working out extraordinarily well.
And again, at the price point, it is more than worth the taking the shot on it for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Expectations don't have to be that high.
I want to get one more thing in, though, before we're done here. Is it your expectation that when all is said and done, Cousins winds up in Atlanta?
Not necessarily. I actually got a text 5 minutes before the show started in response to, is Minnesota still in it, that said, yes, they are. So I think Minnesota knows what it'll take. They're not there yet, and Cousins would be happy to stay there. He likes it there. But if the contract's not right and it opens up to other teams at noon, Atlanta's a factor.
And should we expect Justin Fields to be dealt in the next, week? I mean, do we think that he gets traded this week?
I mean, Ryan Poles said he wanted to do it before free agency
starts. That's Wednesday?
It's 2 hours from now.
Well, that part of it, yeah.
But I think it'll happen in fairly short order.
Dan?
Greeny, the Kirk Cousins situation is fascinating because this. If he leaves Minnesota, what does Minnesota do then at quarterback? If he stays in Minnesota, what does Atlanta then do at quarterback? If he stays in Minnesota, what do the Denver Broncos do at quarterback? What do the Las Vegas Raiders do at quarterback? So that's why, like, this Kirk Cousins decision, and just so everybody knows, since 2018, he's got the third most touchdown passes in the NFL. Kirk Cousins is a really, really, really good quarterback.
Yes.
So that's why you're sitting there going, okay, when he decides, there are two or three teams that are going to be tremendously impacted about what they are capable of doing at that position.
Yes. Yep. Final word.
If I'm the Falcons, I'm pushing it in.
Is that the bag?
I'm pushing it all in. Okay? Raheem Morris talked about it.
Matter of what.
He's like, Raheem Morris, put it all in there. Raheem Morris talked about it in his opening press conference. He talked about his opening press conference.
$45 million a year, whatever it is.
Yeah,
needs him.
Well, no, I'm taking the croissant.
We'll talk more about Russell Wilson, Molly, Stephen A. Shannon, Orlovsky, and more.
Trying to give away my croissant here.
Do not take D. Wood's
food. No, don't take my croissant.
It's opening day in the National Women's Soccer League Saturday. The Kansas City Current facing the Portland Thorns, 1 Eastern on ABC, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus. What a morning. That just flew by.
It's already over?
That's crazy.
D-Wood didn't even get to eat his croissant.
I didn't.
Hey, I wish my daughter a happy birthday.
Stunning upset.
Look at that.
Happy birthday, Ella.
First Take starts now.